Bloomberg on the Economy with Mike McKee and Carol Masser. Listen on demand via our Bloomberg Radio Plus app. Now available free for both iPhone and Android devices.
So we're all waiting for when Spain is going to ask for help.
Please, and sir, may I have a bailout?
Yeah, please, sir, may I have a bailout? And everybody's saying it's not going to happen until the markets demand it. So, Hans, is president and chief investment officer of Greylock Capital Management. They do invest in European bonds, and he has been involved in that whole market. Mm-hmm. So, I guess we're waiting on you, huh? You're going to wrap some knuckles, or?
I think that the private sector has been trying to at least keep tabs on what's going on with Spain. If you take a couple steps back, you have to realize that what Spain had a few years ago wasn't really a situation where the country had too much debt, but there was the financial sector. The debt to GDP ratio for the country was, well within manageable range. But as the financial sector started having additional problems and more money had to go from the general EU towards the banks, the indebtedness of the country has really ratcheted up to the point where now it's gone up from about 80-90% debt to GDP in the last month or so. And that starts raising a bit of a concern for the private sector, because if the money that goes to bail out the banks becomes senior to the claims of the private sector, if we do have a restructuring, it's going to end up being a replay of some of the tensions we had in Greece. And I think that's really what we're keeping an eye on. In terms of, when does this happen, I think that regardless, we're probably going to end up in a situation where we have to start doing workouts on the bank side. I would hope that this can be managed in such a way we don't have to do it for the country.
So many questions.
Yeah,
a little dumbfounded over here. Okay. So in terms of any kind of resolution to this, it just continues to drag on. I mean, are you anticipating that things start to move along more quickly?
Well, I think that what's been going on is actually somewhat productive. There's been such a call over the past year or so, like, oh gosh, when's this going to end? And you have to realize that with the magnitude of the problem, this isn't something where you just flip the switch and say, gosh, it's all fixed.
Mm-hmm. Right.
This, like our crisis, which is, still reverberating, post 2008, the European situation's probably that much more complicated. The fact that they're in this currency union and there's this tension between the North and the South, you can't expect this to be solved overnight.
So it's playing out as you expect?
I think that I'm not in the business of saying what will happen in the future. I'm more in the business of saying what are the possibilities and which are the questions and the issues that are going to arise in the process. But I think what you're playing out now is really a situation where, if you look at the macro situation in Europe, you've got unemployment picking up pretty dramatically. And certainly in the southern countries, you're seeing a real stress socially. And there are more and more demonstrations in the street. And they're stuck in this situation where in the southern countries, unemployment, in the mid-20s, getting close to 30%, that there's no way that they can pay the entitlements of the, of the older people. There isn't enough earning capacity currently in the younger population for them to be able to fund what they're contractually obligated to do. And they're not in the situation the U.S. is, where they can just print the money and, ratchet up the money supply in sufficient amount to pay these obligations. So they're going to have to do some kind of an adjustment. And that's,
when you say adjustment, you mean what specifically?
I think they're going to have to make a call on what they do with the euro. And that ends up being, coming back to is this going to go Mediterranean wise or is it going to be more Germany? And Germany is trying to lock down with austerity. The Mediterranean countries are trying to, inflate their way out of this.
Does that suggest that what Spain announced last week is a mistake? In other words, at this point, is austerity not the way to go? That's what you're saying. Okay.
Yeah, but they're damned if they do, damned if they don't. I mean, right?
Actually, what I would say is the tension between the two sides is producing a process that may end up being the best of all worlds, that the specter of austerity is forcing the adjustments in the southern countries that they need. Tax collection is picking up. The expenditures on the countryside, maybe not, it's not ideal, are coming down in countries like Greece and Spain. And, you know, if they can balance it well enough that the protests on the street don't end up really destabilizing the societies, then I think they'll end up out the other end in better situation.
I mean, are you anticipating what's happened in the Middle East potentially playing out in Europe?
That may be the worst case scenario. Yeah, I mean, I think what you see in Catalonia, in Spain, if you start seeing fragmentation politically within the countries, then the next step will be fragmentation politically within the EU. And that, you know, it could just something like one of these social situations could end up running in, you know, into a situation that's the worst case scenario.
I want to get back to our conversation with Hans Humes. He's in studio with us. He's president and chief investment officer at Greylock Capital. He also served on a private committee that provided restructuring expertise to Greece. I'm curious, on any other committees right now helping out Europe?
We're currently on the Belize committee.
Belize?
which is...
They're going through some problems.
They are. It's
another one of those we need to go down and check out personally.
Absolutely.
Yes, I think you guys
should. Got my diving equipment and all.
Well, what's sort of interesting, I mean, if you've been in this world for a long time, you have to realize that the smaller restructuring, sovereign restructurings, can have big implications for the bigger ones.
I mean, setting precedent and so on?
Absolutely. And what's interesting is you've got the same legal advisor to Belize as for Greece. In fact, the same guy in Cleary Gottlieb. So what goes on in these situations can have a lot of bearing. And Belize, it's pretty straightforward restructuring. It's, one bond issue that got restructured, $500 million. So it's very small compared to what we might see down the road in Europe and what we have seen in Greece. But you've got many of the same issues in terms of is this going to be sort of a unilateral offer by a country? How much is the private sector engaged? That's keeping us busy right now as well.
And keep an eye on it for what it may mean.
Yes.
To come.
you said you're in the business of figuring out what could happen in various scenarios. What could happen with Greece now? What are the scenarios that you see as most likely?
Oh, most likely. There's still chatter about whether Greece... should stay in the euro, obviously. For the past 12 months, I've really considered that be just additional noise. And I think that hopefully at some level, there's a realization that, you know, pushing Greece out of the euro still could do more damage to the overall euro picture than would any kind of, that provide any kind of solution. But I think that the main question there is, you know, the political stability in Greece. You saw Golden Dawn has been picking up a lot of support. There have been a lot more stories of just sort of overt actions by them, crackdowns against immigrants. The balance of austerity and sort of rejiggering the psychology of the country to be more in line with a sort of Europe-focused, perspective on how you deal with things on an economic basis, paying taxes, cutting down, not being dependent on the public sector for jobs and employment. But I think that, for us, I think Greece is more likely to stay in the euro. What's really interesting, I mentioned before, is that the bonds that came out of the Greek restructuring have performed incredibly well. They hit an all-time high today. And I think that there's some realization that regardless of the news, the very good investment opportunities.
How does that happen, regardless of the news? No, seriously.
It is a good question. I mean, it's interesting. If you walk people through what happened with the restructuring, after everything was said and done, we ended up being 25% of the outstanding debt. But because, we have to mark to market, it was pretty transparent what that was worth in terms of euros. And at one point, post-restructuring, when all the banks had decided to sell their Greece exposure, probably with the idea that they'd be more penalized for it by people seeing that they had Greek exposure on their books, the bonds were hitting 12, 13 cents on the dollar. So the cash amount to retire that was about, 6 billion euros. And so it was incidental. And the cost of servicing that is about 1% of GDP. So we're really not part of the problem on their, the indebtedness of the country. And any kind of additional debt relief that they need will have to come from the official sector. And I think the most galling thing in the process for us was that right at the last moment, not only the ECB, but the European central banks lifted their bonds, the same bonds that we had, out of the equation. They did a restructuring on the side worth 100 cents in the dollar. And the IMF just came out last week and said, hey, listen, you know, these guys, you guys are going to have to do something around this. And so I, you know, for us, I think that if Greece stays in the euro, they'll probably enact enough reforms and they'll probably reduce their liabilities enough in some form or another that they can actually perform. And if they leave the euro, while it might be create a lot of stresses within the eurozone, that will allow them to devalue and they can still service the private sector debt. So,
But you're suggesting we are going to see official sector involvement here.
From my view, there's no way around it. And in fact, coming out of the restructuring that we finalized at the beginning of this year, I mean, just taking two steps back, they didn't get enough debt relief. We gave up, you know, we took a 53.5% haircut on our principal and then extended the terms. So the fact that we ended up giving about a 75% forgiveness, the official sector took nothing. And while the IMF has traditionally had a senior role to our senior position vis-a-vis the private sector, it isn't really clear what other multilateral entities, what might be it the ECB, the European Union, you know, if they should have that same kind of seniority. And that's going to have to play out in some form. But we've lived in a world where there's always been comparability of treatment, private sector vis-a-vis the official sector. And in this case, the comparability of treatment is going to have to come from the other side.
You don't have any more to give.
It's
and
time.
We're under UK law now. So fine. You know, I mean, you know, there's, I would say de facto, I mean, de jure, we're subordinate, but de facto, we're senior. We're under UK law. Most of the banks have sold. So if they ever come back to the table with us, you're going to have a bunch of people that you can't politically pressure, and you're going to have to go through the UK courts to impose it on us. I don't think there's much of a chance.
You said in the break, Hans, that there's amazing opportunities for investment in Europe right now.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's sort of, I've been really surprised seeing these macro funds come out and say, gosh, you know, within this environment, there's just no opportunity to make money. You know, it's not economically fundamental analysis we're doing. There's too much politics. And you're like, you know, from my vantage point, sort of having grown up in what's now called the emerging market world, it's, you know, I'm curious when you make an investment decision when you're not sort of factoring in politics.
And I think the territory, big
and
time.
I think some of the political noise will give you these opportunities where you take a look at something and say, just the risk reward is so much more skewed to the reward than the risk because of, you know, for selling pressure by banks. So I think that Europe will continue to throw up really, really interesting investment opportunities. Now, that may mean that you don't do things, you know, from a macro standpoint. You can't be a momentum trader in this environment. You have to really look at situations from the bottom up. But I think Europe is probably going to be giving us investment opportunities for the next 5, if not 10 years.
But it's doing it from the back, in a backward sort of way.
Well, I guess. I mean,
yeah.
It's not because everybody's going, wow, this is extremely strong growth prospects there, and they're running their economy so well that we know that we're going to get paid back. So,
well, you know, that you're right. I mean, the backdrop is not pretty.
But that provides some opportunity, right? When you've got these distressed
absolutely
economies.
Yeah. And if you've lived through it before, it can. I mean, I'm just looking at what might happen with the Spanish banks, and I have a feeling that there are going to be some very interesting opportunities there, the same way there were with the Icelandic banks, believe it or not. So it's, you know, these kind of stresses. I mean, you know, I always sort of made it a theme of my investments that if everybody else is running out, you know, taking the flights out, I'd probably hop on a flight and go in.
I mean, is that because bottom line, I mean, when you look at Europe, I mean, eventually we know this is, it's not like you said, you flip a switch and it's all fixed.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to continue to grind, but they're not going to let everything fall apart.
You know, I mean, that is, you know, that is a worst case scenario that everything does fall apart.
But you don't think so.
No, I think the chances of it all falling apart is much less than it was, when we're in the midst of the Greece restructuring. And I think that the Europeans, as much as there's a bit of an antipathy towards the private sector and the financial community, they recognize that the markets should be taken into account. And there is, slowly but surely, a real integration going on. And the kind of work that I'm seeing behind the scenes between the people in the Ministry of Finance in Greece and the in Brussels and in Frankfurt is really unprecedented. There, the communication and the coordination is much better on the surface under the surface than you'd see by what the statements that are going on by the politicians. So there is an integration going on.
You know that. You're confident in that.
We see it. These guys are not – it's not one group going in one direction and another in another direction. They're definitely acting in coordination. And that wasn't the case a year and a half ago, 2 years ago.
Well, that's a little bit more hopeful note than we've heard. Just before we go here, just about a minute left, any concerns about how things play out in the United States with the fiscal cliff, et cetera, coming up? is that going to have a macro global effect?
Well, gosh, I guess given what I just said, you know, I should be on the side saying that or hope that the politicians continue pushing it up towards the cliff and create a lot of havoc so it's a good buying opportunity.
It's an opportunity, yeah.
But the U.S. is in a fundamentally different situation. They have shown that they're willing to devalue the currency to support it. And frankly, you know, our economy adjusts more quickly than Europe has shown that it can. And maybe Europe will change. So I'm less pessimistic than a lot of other people in, you know, vis-a-vis the U.S.
No. We started happy today. We went through a down period.
I've been all over the place
today.
This is
today. Like watching the stock market chart, you know, and then
it
we finish on something of a more upbeat note from Hunt.
Listen to Bloomberg on the Economy weekdays at 10 a.m. Eastern on Bloomberg 1130 in New York or on Sirius and XM Satellite Radio Channel 113. Copyright 2012.